Welcome back to DMnastics, the gym for dungeon masters to work out their minds. I'm DM Neil, aka Jotmaniac, and today we are going to be talking about episodes number 52 and 53, the creation and inspiration number 5. The guest for that episode, well, not for that episode, for both episodes, was Lou Anders, and I am ridiculously pleased to tell you that Lou Anders is here.
And it's good to be here.
Yes. Here in the DMnastics gym, and he is going to help me lift the mental weights, as it were, and specifically for DMnastics number 40, By Odin's Beard, because if you remember from the episodes that Lou was on, he talked all about his world, and I would say it's some cold themes there in your world, Lou.
At least in book one, the first novel, yes. Frostborn, is drawn directly from Scandinavian myth and culture. In the subsequent books, Nightborn and Skyborn, which comes out in September, I'll mention that, I get some fun with my Norse-inspired characters traveling across their world. They end up about 2,000 miles from home. And so then we get comedy from, you know, the barbarians from the frozen north dealing with people who are not used to them.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm excited. So the setup for this one, it tied back to a previous DMnastics where someone had mentioned the barbarians of Northfell. So in the world that we've created together, Deimbe, there's barbarians, specifically the barbarians of Northfell and the Northfell clans. So I thought it would be a great idea, based off all of the awesome things that Lou had said, to create a clan together or multiple clans together, whatever worked for the forum. So we have one here, and it's more of a collaborative effort, so a lot of people put in their ideas, and this may get slightly confusing, but the clan name is called Frosthorn. So not to be confused with Lou's first book, Frostborn, but...
Which does revolve around trying to capture a magical horn, so conflation may be easy. Yes.
Oh, no. That's amazing. So the clan leader is named Jan?
Jan.
Stormfaller. Jan. Oh, darn it. Lou, you're taking me to task right out the gate. I'm with you. It's okay. Jan Stormfallen. Oh, it's right there. Lou, the pronunciation is right there. That's my bad.
Yeah, but you don't say we have to cross the fjord. You say fjord.
True. Yeah, I'm with you now. I'm with you. All right. Let's see if I can do a little better. So the clan leader is Jan Stormfallen, and it says, in an entirely unprecedented scenario, Jan Stormfallen challenged his predecessor, Ralk the Snowblind, for leadership. This was not unusual in and of itself. While not every day occurrence in the Frosthorn tribe, the clan chief had to defend his position from time to time. The fact that Jan was the Frosthorn shaman at the time is what made the situation groundbreaking. In fact, never before in any clan has one person held both positions, shaman and chief, simultaneously. Already, I am a huge fan. Well, he's probably not a huge fan of me, but I'm a huge fan of Jan. Because that's a pretty impressive feat there.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the Scandinavian culture, they did not have any kind of hereditary succession. When the Jarl died, you fought for the right to be the new Jarl. And the strongest person got the job. Mm-hmm. And when they encountered Western Europe, the rest of Western Europe, and started getting Christianized, there were a couple of Jarls who tried to instate their children as their successor, and it completely didn't go over. And it was several hundred years of false starts before they moved to the idea of hereditary succession. Interestingly enough, talking about shaman, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, actually. I'll save that. But I'm in the Norse culture, there were religious people called Gothi, G-O and their T-H letter I. And the Gothi functioned in a shamanic capacity, although I think anybody could, you know, stand up and preach. You didn't necessarily go to a priest to worship Odin. But if you look at the How to Train Your Dragon TV series, the old woman is named Gothi.
Interesting.
Which actually translates as God-man, and there's another term that begins with a V that I can't remember for when it's a woman. So Gothi is, I guess, transgendered. Anyway, go ahead.
Now it is. Thanks, How to Train Your Dragon. So there's a little bit more that was written for Jan. And it says, Jan is one of the most powerful shamans the clan has ever seen and has significant power over the winter elements, gained through extremely devout and some suspect devious worship of Cerninus. And since there has never been a leadership challenge by a shaman, there was no protocol for whether or not the shaman was permitted to use his powers during the duel. Jan killed Ralk quickly. Eventually, the clan elders decided that a leader should be able to defend against any threat, magical or not, and Jan was officially installed as clan chief. He is a fierce leader, one who tolerates little weakness. He has been overly compassionate or kind, but he is just. Simply, he understands what it takes to survive, even thrive, in the harsh environs of the Northfell, and plans to equip his clan to be their best. I'm a little torn by the... But I'm torn by the two paragraphs together, because you have the suspect, you know, some suspect devious worship, but then he sounds like a really solid guy. So I wonder if it's just like people don't like that the shaman has been in place because it's so far and beyond the norm, and you know, and just creating rumors. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, I really hope he's not a bad guy.
Yeah, well, I like the line, he's never been overly compassionate or kind, but he is just. That's a great line, and I like the idea of consolidating power between two previously separate arms of the society. Cerninus is not made up. It's the Celtic hunter, the horned hunter. He's sometimes called Hearn the Hunter, and he's mostly benevolent, but I think when you encounter Hearn, you know, it's the Wild Hunt in European mythology, and when you encounter the Wild Hunt, you can get caught up in it, and then you run with it forever. So it's possible that there's some aspect of human sacrifice or of trickery and danger involved in his worship. Because I imagine that summoning Cerninus could backfire on you quite easily, you know. you could find yourself chasing stags in the woods for the rest of your eternity.
Okay, yeah, so one forum user, KJ Magel, had posted that possibly worshipping the Celtic god Cerninus, and the very next post by the forum user Whipstash was all about Jan. So he had taken that idea and incorporated it back into his own when talking about Jan Stormfallen.
Hmm.
It makes more sense because Jan is the shaman. I like it. Although now I am also suspect of Jan. After hearing more about Cerninus, I'm not entirely sure he is on the up and up.
Well, it's interesting how they're mixing Norse and Celtic influences in this, because your listeners can't see it, but the deer head symbol that's included with this is completely Celtic, with the Triskelion symbol on the forehead. And so I wonder if there's some way to push that further. You know, are they wearing horned helmets and kilts?
Well, I know. Sorry, I don't know if we have any listeners that are artistic, but if you're not taking that to task and doing warriors with horned helmets and kilts, I don't know what you will do.
Although the historian in me has pointed out that the Vikings never wore horned helmets. But also, you know, the Celts were very, very big on chariots.
Mm.
They did chariot combat. And so I wonder if there's a way to conflate Celtic chariots with something that would function in the snow. And also, you've got a god who's a hunter, so staying in one place doesn't seem apropos. So I wonder if we could have sleds that look like Celtic chariots, ridden by Vikings in kilts, going out and...
That's amazing. Yeah, because I was thinking of that, but then also to further incorporate it into the idea of this clan, the clan animal being the reindeer elk, and having that be the beast of burden, if you will, for the front of this chariot sled that we've now thought up. Oh, man. I wish I was really good at drawing. I'm not. Because that would be... It's an amazing visual to think of now, especially since I looked up super quick the Celtic chariots. I mean, it would work perfectly.
You could see Jan put his chariot being pulled by an elk and everybody else being pulled by reindeer.
Yes. And then, as you had mentioned, the symbol, I mean, is, very, very Celtic. I mean, there's no if, and, or but about that. But, so it's the head of a deer, potentially. If you want to go check out that symbol and a bunch of other ones, definitely head to the forums, because there were quite a few that were presented. So the preferred weapon is the warriors of the Frosthorn tribe fashioned horns into easily gripped sets of sharpened antlers that would work well in close combat for slashing and stabbing enemies, a la Braveheart.
Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while.
I'm sitting here thinking, and probably not work well from the back of a chariot. No. Maybe we can cheat and elongate some of those and make them into spears.
Yeah. You got to drive real close. Yeah. Real close.
Put some antlers on the sides of the chariot to slash people with as you go by.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what would be a good long-range weapon based off of deer and elk. And because the thing that comes to mind, but it almost seems like more of a legendary weapon or higher end, would be a deer or an elk that was large enough that like a set of the antlers could be fashioned into a bow. But you're talking a big animal at that point. But it's fantasy, so I mean, we can have that all day long if we want.
Well, there's a pretty big deer already, but you could do enormous elk antlers that are catapult-sized.
Oh, true.
Or slingshot, you know, shooting boulders between two giant antlers.
That is exactly what... Well, yours sounds more reasonable, or at least less comical than mine, but my idea was like, what if they were riding on the back and they just use the antlers as a slingshot while riding on them? Yours makes more sense, though. So the preferred method of travel is the elk. Oh, so since they use elk / deer hide in order to make sleds, they already knew. They were already making sleds. That is probably how they prefer to travel. The sled's probably drawn by domesticated wolves or some type of dog. But we already nixed that. Yeah, we have stepped it up a notch or two, and we will go ahead and have them have gigantic Celtic chariot-style sleds that are pulled by deer and elk. Yes. Done. Is there anything else you can think of to...
One really, really enormous elk that's used to batter down enemy walls.
Oh, that's awesome. You could really get into a lot more of that with Jan at the head of this tribe, because he can call upon the power of Cerninus and potentially get that elk that's large, or even have a large elk that he uses his shaman powers on and makes even larger.
Yeah.
Like when they're going to attack the other villages or other clans. All right. Well, that's all I can think of for that one. Now, Lou, since you said you were up for it, we will get to create a clan right now together.
Awesome.
We will start out as we often do with the most difficult thing. What are we going to name this clan? There's a huge part of me that wants to call them the Nighthorn, because that would be too funny. But I don't think we'll go with that.
Oh, well, I like Night, though.
Okay, so we've got Night.
How about the Black Axe?
Yeah. Ooh, I like that.
That might be a better last name for a clan leader.
Ooh.
You know, like, okay. Harold Black Axe.
I like it. We don't have to do this in order. Nobody's telling us how to lift these weights. I'm in. So if we want to do the clan leader, and we can call him Harold Black Axe. Are you in for that?
I'm totally in for that.
Done. Now, what makes him, or well, like I said, there's no rhyme or reason or rules here. So we've got clan name, clan leader, who is now Harold Black Axe, clan animal, clan symbol, which we probably won't do here unless we can really come up with something and visualize it. Preferred weapon. I think we might have a little bit of a hint on what that might be.
Just a small one.
The preferred travel method, and then from there you can do notable deeds or past warriors of note. But those are kind of the fluff, not the meat and potatoes, if you will.
Clan animal. I'm torn between something magical like a Linorm, which is the Norse dragon, the long serpentine dragon, or something that flies to get us into some interesting preferred methods of travel. What if there are Scandinavian equivalents of thunderbirds? What if we had giant white feathered birds?
I'm in.
That they rode.
I like that. Do we want to give that guy a name?
Yeah.
We could call it the White Thunderbird, but...
Nah, thunders are wrong. Stormbirds. Stormbirds.
Done.
Cool.
Hey, okay, there you go.
I'm trademarking that right now.
Oh, dang it. I can't. All right. I'll have to cut this out of the podcast. Yeah,
no.
Lou took it back from us.
So we got giant white-feathered stormbirds.
Yes.
Fortunately, I'm trying to restrict air travel in my own books right now.
Oh, it's, hey, now you can just go, you can get it out of your system.
Exactly.
Right now. So the preferred travel method is riding atop the giant white storm birds.
Yes.
And then do they only do foot travel otherwise?
You can fly. Why are you going to ride something?
Yeah, done. So the preferred weapon is the axe, clearly. We'll leave it at that. And in all of its various and wonderful forms, thrown, hand, larger.
Yeah, flying in, flinging a throwing axe, and then peeling away.
That's amazing.
You can see them terrorizing a city from the sky that way.
Oh, that's awesome. And the clan symbol, now that we've talked about the bird, I almost can't unsee like an outstretched wingspan as kind of like the backdrop for the clan symbol. But I'm trying to think of how to incorporate the...
Put two crossed axes across the wingspan.
Done. I like that. It's a super cool visual, and especially with the contrast of the white bird, and the wingspan stretched out, and the like deep, deep black on the axe heads. So do we want to try and figure out why he's Harold Black Axe?
Yeah, but back on the symbol quickly, the background too, the field could be black, so that the only thing used to create the design is just white paint on a black field. So you've got the outline of a bird, and then inside the bird, it's the silhouette of the black axe.
Yeah, the only thing you need to paint is the white.
Yeah.
Using the negative space to create the black axes. I like that.
And you could see them painting their faces and leaving a white space.
Oh, yes.
The two axes.
Dude, these guys are getting scary, Lou. Real scary. They're already kind of scaring the other barbarian tribes by being able to fly.
I think they are. I think they are quite merciless to the other tribes. Not very cooperative. Not good neighbors.
No. And I could see it being a smaller tribe because I can only envision them having so many birds on which they could ride. And only the greatest of their warriors can ride them, and just this bloody competition that is trying to become one of those warriors. But still, they are feared far, far and definitely wide, because they can just fly over there and get you whenever they feel like it.
They clearly live atop the tallest mountain in the land. And everyone else is living on the coast because fish are a big part of the diet. So they're raiding everyone else for food since they can't really farm or hunt up in the mountains. So they survive on stealing from all the other clans.
Nice. So Harold Black Axe, how did he get the title of Black Axe, and what does that mean? I'd almost have to think it's his personal weapon.
But then is this a new clan, since the clan shares a name and the symbol?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right, so he tamed the Stormbirds.
Yeah, I like it.
Maybe he slew his Jarl with his axe, and he was the right-hand man of the Jarl, so it was a Black Axe because it was a black deed, because he killed somebody he was supposed to be loyal to. And he was driven out of the clan. Nobody else could kill him, but he was driven out for having killed the Jarl in an unfair, unprovoked, outside the normal challenges that are allowed. He just did it in a way that's considered dastardly. I mean, in these cultures, lying is one of the worst things you can do. So maybe he just was deceitful in the way that he slew his leader. And so he's driven away, and he climbs the mountain and tames the Stormbird, and then gathers to him people who are attracted to his strength and builds up this clan in the mountains.
But always owning the title of Black Axe, be it for penance or just hubris, either one, just whatever it is that motivates him, it is that when he did that deed. I would see it more as not a redemption if we've already kind of established they're not nice.
No, I think it's embracing your nature. It's like, well, if that's what I am, then I'm going to be the best Black Axe there is.
Nice, yeah. I almost want him, and I can't get this out of my head, so I'll have to say it. I almost want him to have an axe that is black now, like truly is a black axe, and it's like worked obsidian or something along those lines, where obviously would need a little bit of a magical touch, because an obsidian axe probably won't work long term, but having it, just be pure black. Oh, Harold, we knew you so well when you were a nice guy. So do we have any idea on the clan name? Did we come down on anything?
Stormrider?
Stormriders? Like it. Done. So the Stormriders, led by Harold Black Axe, atop terrifying Stormbirds and throwing axes at you whenever they show up. Awesome. Is there anything else we could think to add to these guys?
Well, I wonder if the Black Axe came from the Drakkalfar, the Dark Elves. if he went and lived among them for a while when he was driven out of human culture and they gifted him with the weapon.
I like that idea, almost as if he's just fine, walks off into the, you know, into the mountains, finds a cave and just keeps going.
Yeah.
That's super cool. I mean, I'm in for that.
He might have dark elves among his clan too.
Man, these storm riders have escalated quickly, Lou. These guys are not to be trifled with.
No, I'm digging them.
Dude, I like it. Well, I think that'll about do it for them before they become the superpower in the world of Dayimbe. So
now you got to figure out how to stop them.
Yeah. I'm going to go back up and start writing some more stuff down for the Frosthorns. That's
Well, the Frosthorns can't do it alone. They're going to have to unite the clans to take these guys out.
Yeah, because it could be the... You have to now. I mean, once there's that full revelation that they have dark elves amongst them, and it's already, you know, it has that negative connotation on the leader themselves because of how his nature is, the clans have to unite. Well, now that we've thoroughly scared the rest of the barbarians of Northvale with the Storm Riders, where can people go to see more of your stuff, read more of your stuff, hear more of your dulcet tones, whatever they want to do?
Well, the series is the Thrones and Bones series, and the first two books, Frostborn and Nightborn, are out now from Penguin Random House, and the third one comes out September 6th. It's called Skyborn. We do have flight in it. And there's a wonderful website that Random House built at thronesandbones.com. I also have a website at louanders.com with different content. There's some marvelous maps that have been done for this world. There have been 10 maps done so far, although I think about 6 of them are public. And they were all done by Robert Lazzaretti, who used to work at TSR and now does a large percentage of the Pathfinder role-playing game maps.
Yeah.
So gamers go to thronesandbones.com and check the maps out there. Read the books, and I am enormously spreadable. I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest and things I don't even know I'm on. All as Lou Anders, and some of them as Thrones and Bones, and so I'm very, very findable, very spreadable.
Yes. I don't know how I didn't know that Lazzaretti was doing those maps. That definitely go check that out. I don't know what term that your books fall under, technically. I'm using air quotes. You can't see that. It's a podcast, but I would implore our listeners to go read these books. It doesn't matter what they're classified as. Are they young adult, Lou?
No, they're middle grade.
Middle grade.
Middle grade is, just briefly, middle grade is Percy Jackson, Harry Potter, you know, Ranger's Apprentice. Young adult is The Hunger Games, Divergent, okay. Twilight. It's basically, middle grade is where you get all the action and the best plots and no kissing.
Nice. But
they were written to be basically like The Lord of the Rings, but accessible to a younger audience. And I wanted to bring that kind of world building and depth of immersion to something that an 8-year-old could read. But yeah. Also, you know, I get a lot of parents who are like, wow, this is the first book I've read in my son that I also enjoy.
Yes, that's, and you took the words right out of my mouth, Lou. I was going to say, I know that we have a lot of people that are potentially have kids. I have 1.5 of my own, and these are the kind of books that would be so much fun to read to your children, or just read on your own. I'm gonna be honest, they're a lot of fun, but the kind of thing where it's like, there's those shows that you get to watch with your kids that you also get to enjoy, and you're like, oh, do you want to watch that again? You're like, haha, this is why I had kids, cartoons. But to read these books to your children, I think would benefit you both, especially if you're trying to think of a good way to get those ideas of the fantasy genre and get your kids essentially to eventually role play. I think these books are an awesome way to do that.
Thank you. Yeah, there's a reviewer who said future fans of Tolkien and George R. R. Martin can cut their fantasy teeth on these books.
Awesome. Yes, I would wholeheartedly agree with that. So now that I've implored you to go get those books, I will also implore you to head over to the forums if you like what we're doing here and join in on those DMnastics. I will get this all worked up, what Lou and I have said, and get it on the forum, and maybe you can think about a tribe that can join the Frosthorns in trying to defeat the Storm Riders.
They need it fast.
Yes. Hurry before Lou and I come up with anything else.
To do that, head over to dungeonmastersblock.freeforums.net and try some DMnastics so your players don't ask, do you even lift?
I gotta get a pump.
That's it. It's good. It hurts. I know it does. That's it. Get it.